Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church podcast. We pray that this message will help you in your walk with Christ. The title of Dr. Dortch's Good Friday sermon is It Is Finished. The big idea is that Jesus' final prayer expressed his joy in having brought to completion all God had sent him to do.
Good Friday from the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse. For the scripture tells us that later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Back when I was in seminary, I remember a conversation with one of my preaching professors, a conversation in which he told me that preaching was something that he always enjoyed having done. He always enjoyed having preached. And as he went on to explain, he didn't so much enjoy getting ready to preach. He didn't even so much enjoy the act of preaching itself. But when everything was all said and done and the sermon was over, he felt not just a sense of relief, he felt a sense of joy, joy in a task that he had finally completed. Now, personally, I like every aspect of preaching, but I get where he was coming from, and you probably do as well, because that same sense of joy over having completed a task, it applies to so many areas of our lives. Whether it be the completion of a project, or the conclusion of a profession, or as some of you mothers can attest, the culmination of a pregnancy, there is truly an exceedingly great joy that comes over us whenever we have seen a major matter to its conclusion. And why is that so? More than likely, it's because not all of us finish everything that we begin. For example, how many things can you think of that you have left behind in your own personal graveyard of unfinished dreams? How many times have you started out on something only to get sidetracked or interrupted, waylaid or obstructed, and thought to yourself, "Well, I'll just set this to the side and get back to it at a later date," but of course you never did. And truth be told, many of those things may still be hanging over some of you like a Damocles sword. Now, I don't say all of this to discourage you. I only truly say it to cause you to marvel even more at the manner in which the God whom we worship and serve, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is in fact a God who finishes everything that he starts, a God who finishes everything that he starts and does so regardless of the obstacles that seek to stand in his way. And that is certainly what we have gathered on this day to celebrate, this day we call Good Friday. I've always thought that term, Good Friday, to be a term that demands a bit of explanation, and especially in a day like this present one, when we can no longer take for granted the general public's understanding of the significance of Jesus' death, why we would dare call it to be a good day. Because to most people outside the church, nothing about that Friday Jesus died upon the cross could be seen as good. They look at the cross and they think, how can you celebrate a death like that? The death of a good man. How can such a death be seen as something worth rejoicing over? And it's a good question. And there are many ways by which we might explain to a confused world the goodness, the glorious goodness of Jesus' death on the cross. But for the first 1,000 years of Christian history, the explanation that held the most support among Jesus' followers was that because of sin, this world has fallen under the control of Satan. Everything in this world has fallen under control of Satan, including us. We humans, our natures are corrupt, our desires are impure. And yet, through his death on the cross, Christ has freed this world and Christ has freed us from the power of Satan. Through his death on the cross, Christ has enabled us to know forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, what makes this Friday good is that it represents how God chose not to give up on us despite the many times we have given up on God. God has not given up on us. God has not given up on this fallen world. Instead, God has drawn near in the person of Jesus, who on the cross reveals God's desire to reconcile himself to us, not by some fiat or decree, but through offering something of his own, through offering his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And with that background in mind on this Good Friday, perhaps now we can appreciate even more deeply the account John gives us in his gospel of Jesus' final breath. John's account, like all of the gospel accounts, is of course graphic. It is jarring. But how else can you explain something as horrifying as a first century crucifixion? Crucifixions were Rome's way of telling their subjects, if you get out of hand, we will crush you like a bug, and it will not be pretty. And so crucifixions were very public displays of pain and agony, shame and disgrace, humiliation and rejection, and all of it heaped upon the poor soul who had been nailed to the cross to die. And on this particular Friday, this Friday that we gather to celebrate, that poor soul was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, or so read the sign the Roman soldiers had in derision posted above his head. And yet, in spite of it all, in spite of the pain and the agony, in spite of the shame and the disgrace, in spite of the humiliation and the rejection, Jesus, through his death, even his death on the cross, Jesus won the day. For example, you notice in John's account how in every aspect of his death, Jesus is fulfilling God's redemptive promises. He thirsts. He thirsts. That's not an account that we should take lightly. It's not a meaningless reference that John makes. The thirst of Jesus was fulfillment of prophecy, the 69th Psalm, where the psalmist proclaims that God's servant will be shamed by his persecutors because he trusts in God. And the hyssop branch, that branch that the soldiers used to wet the lips of Jesus with sour wine, it was a common plant in Bible times, and yet you know from your reading of the book of Exodus, it was the plant that the children of Israel used to apply the blood of the lamb to the top and the sides of their door frames. They applied the blood to their door frames to repel the angel of death God would be sending upon the land. The death angel would pass over their homes, hence the phrase Passover. And Jesus' final prayer, yes, I consider it a prayer, and over these last weeks leading up to this week, we've been looking at the prayers of Jesus and what we might gain and glean from those prayers. Jesus' final prayer, it's finished, it's finished. That was more an expression of Jesus' joy. It was not an expression of his defeat. It was an expression of joy, and it should serve as all the proof that anyone should ever require that Jesus did not die as one more victim at the hands of an oppressive political regime. He died instead as a victor. As a victor. It is finished. Jesus died as one who came into this world to pay a debt that no one else could have possibly paid. And who, upon completing that most holy of tasks, bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was not taken from him. He gave up his spirit as a way of proclaiming mission accomplished. And now you see how this story, in the light of the manner in which Jesus fulfilled God's redemptive promises, in spite of all of the pain and the agony, the shame and the humiliation, everything that was heaped upon Jesus, we understand. This is why we cannot have a sanitized Christianity, not at any time of the year, but certainly not on this Good Friday. We can't have a Christianity that seeks to go straight from the hosannas of Palm Sunday to the hallelujahs of Easter Sunday. We cannot have a Christianity that wants to offer a crown without a cross. lost. We cannot have a Christianity that tries to pretend that no one ever has to go through the valley of the shadow of death. No one has to endure what the mystics among us have described as the dark night of the soul. No, we can't have that kind of Christianity, because all of those stark and grim realities that Jesus faced and that we face as well, all of those realities are very much what it means to speak of ourselves as a people who are in process. We're not finished. We're not completed products. We are a community of faith that by God's grace poured out in the death of Jesus is becoming each day more and more of what God created us to be, and each day is becoming more and more of what Jesus, through his death, is redeeming us to be. And so, yes, we all have to go through those difficult and challenging seasons, but the cross assures us that we don't have to go through those difficult and challenging seasons alone. We don't have to go through them alone. And we don't have to go through them in the fear that as we go through those seasons, it may be the case that we will lose everything. We won't lose anything. Because Jesus on the cross has won the battle. And the benefits of his victory graciously and mercifully fall to us as we place our trust in his redemptive power. There is truly power in the blood. I love the story of the children's Sunday school teacher who was doing her best to explain the importance of the cross to her class of six-year-olds. Now, some of you have had that experience of trying to help young minds and young hearts grasp the glory of Calvary. It's not the easiest task in the world. But sometimes the Spirit speaks in spite of us, and it is the Holy Spirit that completes that most holy responsibility of helping others understand, comprehend, embrace the glory of Calvary, even when we are thinking we didn't bring the message home. Well, at the end of this particular class, which the teacher didn't think was going anywhere, boy raised his hand and said, "I know why Jesus died." And so the teacher called on the boy to share his answer with the rest of the class. And as the boy spoke up, he said, "Jesus died hanging the power lines." Those were his words. "I know why Jesus died. Jesus died hanging the power lines." And when the teacher asked, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He pushed forward a picture. It was a picture of Jesus on the cross, which to that young boy looked like one of those utility poles that the electric company had just put up that week in his front yard. And the teacher then remembered that she had earlier passed out copies of that picture of Jesus on the cross. And she had explained how the picture shows us how Jesus died. And so the boy in his young mind had combined those two images, the image of the cross with the image of the power lines in his front yard. And in his mind, it made perfectly good sense. Jesus died hanging the power lines. You know, when you think about it, that's not bad theology. It really isn't. Jesus died to hang a power line from God to you. Power to forgive your sins. Power to help you overcome your temptations. Power to lift you from all of the disappointments that you have felt over not having done, finished, completed everything that God has given you to do. And by hanging such a power line, Jesus has for you brought to pass, brought to fulfillment, brought to completion for you all God's redemptive promises. This coming Sunday, there'll be a lot more people here. And that's a good thing. And this Sunday morning, we're going to open our worship with a familiar Easter hymn. But I want you to pay close attention to it. Because as you sing it, I want you to know that it contains in it a hint of Good Friday. Listen for it when we sing it. That stanza that includes that most powerful of promises, love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah. Fought the fight. The battle's won. Hallelujah. That's not about us fighting the battle in our own power. It's about Jesus. It is finished. God's saving power today has been unleashed into this fallen world. God's redemptive promises in the cross of Jesus Christ have been fulfilled, and they have been fulfilled to the letter. That, my brothers and sisters, is why we dare to call this Friday a good one. And that's why when we behold the cross, we also dare to believe that as good as this day is, the best is yet to come. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.